Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 119 of The Established Facts. This is your host, Big Don.
This is Josh.
Hey, guys, this is Derek.
And we are going to talk to you guys a little bit about some conning stuff. Actually, the first thing we'd really like to... Don't look at me. Not like con artist stuff. I don't know.
Or not, I swear.
Yeah. We're a legit podcast.
We're talking about conning stuff.
Conning. Conventions. We're talking about conventions.
You know, we do that a lot during the start of the con season.
We do that a lot during the end of the con season.
We don't say anything for about a month.
That's right. We just stop and go.
Okay. So, we had a really cool opportunity, the three of us, to go to a local convention. I'm going to call it a mini con or a micro con.
I wouldn't call it a micro con.
It's not okay. I'll call it a mini con.
I wouldn't call it a mini con. I would call it a small con. Micro con is like maybe 200 to 400 people.
Okay, micro con is Bill Con.
Yes. Okay.
What? That's like Pico Con.
Pico Con.
Nobody even understands what you just said,
Derek.
I did.
No one awesome understands what you just. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Derek.
Uh huh.
Okay. So.
It's a small con because I don't want to give the impression that it was like micro con, like small. So there's micro, small, medium, large.
We got into a lot of grief when we did the whole big versus small con thing. I don't know if you saw
mean
the
with
comment
him
thread
or with everybody else.
Just the big comment thread that was like, no. You deem a 30,000 person con a small or medium con? We're like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this, okay.
For us?
Okay. Let's go ahead and lay this out.
Okay. Let's
in the scheme of, and I'm not necessarily addressing you two specifically.
Yeah, you are.
Sure. So, in the grand scheme of conventions, you have, obviously you have, sure, microcons, anything that's less than a couple, 300. So,
yeah, anything less
Fear
than
the Con, True Con
yeah,
would probably be considered a microcon.
Those are microcons.
Bill Con would really just be considered a 3-day cookout.
Yeah, pretty
much. I would say a mini con is anything that's less than about 5,000 people.
I'd say less than 1,000, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, because smaller cons, you're going to be that 1,000 to...
See, to me, there's no real 10, difference 000, between small and
10
mini.
10 to 30, 30 to 50, and then you've okay. got 50 plus, and okay. you're dealing with like your super cons.
All right, so we were at a small convention this weekend.
Yes, we
well,
were.
I guess
at least
it was,
we think so. I,
right.
I hope HoosierCon broke 1,000. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure considering
I'm
the amount
pretty
of parking,
sure the parking
that
situation.
They didn't have.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that there weren't enough parking spaces. I mean to say that every parking space within a radius of about a quarter mile
and
was taken up.
And every non-parking space was also taken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, considering there was like people, yeah, gathered yeah. all the way around the sidewalk and things like that. Anyway, the weekend of April the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd was a small convention called HoosierCon. Now, that's not Hoosier like Indiana Hoosier, H-O-O-S-I-E-R. That's Hoos, as in W-H-O apostrophe S,
mm-hmm.
Y-E-R, your C-O-N, con. HoosierCon.
Correct. Yes, it's meant to be a play on Hoosier,
yeah, it is.
But it's their con.
But it's their con. That's right. And I really like their little logo because the way that they arrange their letters in an acronym, the W-Y-O, and then they shape it around so that it looks like a jester face. It's really kind of fun to me. Like, that's kind of cool.
W-I-C. What? It's a C.
What did I say?
O.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
Yay. All right. So, anyway.
This is riveting.
Should hear the end of two episodes ago. We had a nice long pause, so time was important.
That's right. It was. Con. So, we got a chance to all go to Hoosier Con. Some of us a little longer than others. I think, Derek, did you go all 3 days?
I made guest appearances, like, all 3 days.
Wow. Like, walked in like a princess. Like, hi.
Well, yes, you have to make your
appearance.
This
is my cameo. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I have luncheon.
Actually, I only made 2 days. I did not
two days,
make...
Saturday, Sunday?
I made Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
Sunday, because I had a tournament.
Oh.
Yes, that white
flag. Actually, Doomtown tournament.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love how excited you get.
It's a fun game.
Thank you. Thank you. So we all
thank you, AEG.
The three of us got a chance to really enjoy the convention together, but also in very different ways. I myself took my 7-year-old and my 4-year-old for their first real like interactive con experience. They've come to Gen Con with me before, but it's always usually been just kind of as a spectator because they were young enough. Joey, the first convention he went to was Gen Con, and he was about 6 months old. And then.
Danny, I'm trying to figure out how you spectate at Gen Con.
You watch. You watch them walk. You don't get to buy anything. You don't get to play any games. You're a spectator.
Okay.
You're a Jaffo. This was actually their first like active convention experience. They got to play games. I told them. We started in the registration line, and I said, all right, when you come to a convention, the first thing you have to do is you have to get in line so that you can get your badge.
Go queuing.
Right. And so we got in the queue, and it was extremely quick, I think mostly because we got there on Saturday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, so pretty much everybody who was going to be there on Saturday was already there. And we didn't really wait in line for more than about 5 minutes. We got up to the front. The lady who checked us in was extremely sweet. She helped the boys register. The boys and I are official. All three of us are official HoosierCon members. They actually have their own little registration, which is kind of fun. They got their little badges and they wrote their names on them, and I got them badge holders. And then I said, okay, now after you get your badge, the next thing you do is you have to get a book that has everything that they're going to do during the event. And it has a map in it and all kinds of neat stuff. And so, so we did that and we walked around the exhibit hall together they had a really big open gaming room. One of the Wyndham's ballrooms was converted into an open game room, and my brother and Josh Demery and I sat down and we played some games, and the boys were pretty chill. They got a little bored there near the end, but I can understand why. They're just kind of hanging out. There was a place, and this is kind of where my brother and Josh split one way, and then I took my boys another. They have an area at HoosierCon called the Kid Pit.
And where you toss your kids in there and leave them?
Pretty much. You don't leave them.
Wow.
You don't
that's
leave them.
That's a good
them.
Idea.
Yeah.
No.
Idea for Drew Khan.
That's right. It's actually really cool that they had a couple in there that was running activities. They had an actual, when you walk in, they had a big sign that had a schedule for events on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And they were running active events in the room. It wasn't a big room. Mm-hmm. But it was big enough that you could probably fit 10 or 15 kids in comfortably with all of them having something that they could do and be active in. They had a couple tables with some kid games on them. They had a craft table that had glue and glitter everywhere. They had a coloring book table. Derek just cringed.
I just was thinking about the Wyndham and glitter.
It was all over. Luckily, it was all over the table, and that's just a good Clorox wipe. But... and actually, what was really neat was the people who were running the event cleaned up after themselves. Mm. The only thing they didn't do is they didn't vacuum because they didn't. That's hotel staff does
that.
Yeah, that's... But they wiped down all the tables. They threw all the trash away.
It's now the sparkly room.
Right, that's right.
No, the real reason you use a Clorox wipe is to get the bleach to kill it before it spreads.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, we all know what happens with glitter. And then they had this area, which my two sons just loved, where they had two big totes full of Legos. Mm-hmm. And they just hung out in the Lego area, and they just built stuff and played with some of the kids over there and stuff like that. They had a really good time. I had fun. I was just kind of hanging out, watching them and talking to some of the other. There was a kid there that had Pokemon cards, and I still have Pokemon cards, and I play every once in a while. And he came over, and he started talking to me about his Pokemon cards and stuff like that. And I was like, right on. Like, that's cool. Like, his mom was with him, and we were just having a conversation about playing collectible card games and playing Pokemon and stuff like that. And I got introduced, and we'll talk about some of these a little bit later, but I got introduced to a new game. And I was very surprised that I got introduced to a new game in the Kid Pit, but it's called Adventure Maximus. And I am pretty sure it got kickstarted last year. I think it released around October. It is a kid-friendly, family-friendly, 8-year-old up role-playing game and system. You use some D6s. It comes with blank D6s that you can put stickers on, but the company that produces the game also sells the molded D6 dice with the symbols already on it, which I think is really great. The game itself, the starter pack, is only like $25. It's got like an $8 GM screen that you can get, and it comes with everything that you need in it. You can print off character sheets and stuff like that, but like all your gear is like cards, like playing card style cards that has like feather pillow and like power wheels car or something like that. Like, that's your gear. It's like kiddie gear. And the adventure that they were doing was they had to recover Cinderella's lost pink dress from the scary pointy teeth guy. And it took them about an hour to play, but it was like super fun, super, you know, I was like four kids at a table with a guy running the game and teaching them how to play, and they did great. And I was like, that's a fun game. Like, that would even be a fun game for like us to goof around and play on, like, you know, if we did an actual play or something like that, because it's only about an hour long. So that was kind of our experience. We got a chance to go hang out in the arcade that they had there. By the way, if you have never been to HoosierCon, like I had not been up until Saturday, it is a free convention. If you don't go, you're missing out. I didn't know what I was missing out on until I actually went on Saturday, and I had a blast. The arcade had a ton of like retro arcade cabinets and stuff like that. My 7-year-old played Pac-Man and Donkey Kong on the retro cabinet, and then he sat down and played like a bunch of Mario Party 64 and stuff like that. So overall, I had a really good time. But I'm actually really interested to find out, Derek, you ran some games, and you were there for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Kind of give me a review on how you felt about the convention, because I know you've also been more than just this year.
No, this is correct.
Was this your first year? Okay, so it was all three of us.
Avital's the only one that's been.
Okay,
before.
Very cool. All right, well, Derek, what did you think about it?
It was a well-run convention. There was plenty to do. But you really want to schedule your time there. Picking up stuff is difficult in that there really wasn't like panels or anything like that, and the pickup games that were going on, people pre-registered.
Yeah,
people were pre-registered for that. I running games there. One of my games, both games were technically sold out several days beforehand, and then groups pulled out. So, like, my first game didn't make, and my second game had two pre-registers, and then like three people joined.
Sure.
So that was really fun. The game went really well. Parking is going to be a pain.
Yeah.
Parking is going to be a problem. There were several hotels around, and people were parking in their parking lots, mm-hmm. and La Quinta was getting really crabby with them.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were talking about towing, and...
Oh, wow.
Dan had to park three hotels down.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of parking. A lot of this was brought on by Wyndham itself, who parked huge
containers. Big, like, shipping containers and stuff like that. Yeah, there was like four or five of those things in the actual parking lot.
No, there was like 6 to 7 rows of them.
Okay.
And so that was making parking a problem. So I would suggest that in the future that... That Hoosier Con will want to talk to La Quinta and
make arrangements ahead
of time. That way, people don't have to worry about, oh, is my car going to get towed?
Or set it up with somebody who I know that in the area of the Wyndham, there are several offices around the corner in like a couple different industrial parks that are usually closed at least on like Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
If they were to set something up, maybe work something out with the Wyndham, because I know the Wyndham has a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe work something out where, hey, we're going to take some exclusivity with this company that's going to let us use their parking lot for extra parking, and we'll shuttle people over. That may be something that they could consider, because I mean, I felt like the space on the inside for the amount of people was decent.
I agree.
But I agree with you that the parking was nuts.
And we were getting, like, gale-forced winds.
Oh, yeah, that was...
On Saturday.
Yeah, obviously they can't do anything about
that.
No,
they can't do anything about that, but, I mean, that's actually one of the reasons why Dan is not on.
Right.
Is because he got sick.
Just because he's getting sick, yeah.
Because he had to walk through the gale-forced winds. And but he was demoing for AEG.
Oh, okay.
So... I can speak a little bit on that as well. He had a lot of fun.
Good.
With that. The AAG was in that big open gaming area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they demoed several new games like Greedy Greedy Goblins, which he said was a blast. It's a lot of fun. I think Automobiles or Trains is a new one. They demoed a lot of their board games.
Good.
And so it was a good setup for them because the room was actually acoustically good for people to talk.
Not too loud.
Not too loud. That's good.
That's the hardest thing, like going to pretty much any convention at the Indiana Convention Center. Tons of space, lots of really cool stuff to see, extremely loud. Just because concrete walls, metal ceilings.
It's not acoustically.
And thousands of people.
That's one of the benefits that I've found for hotel cons is that acoustically they're a lot better.
Yeah, well, and a lot of times it's because they have firewalls in between certain rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because if they have 5 or 6 ballrooms and you have 3 weddings in 3 of those ballrooms, you don't want one wedding interfering with another, so they have a lot thicker insulation and stuff like that in the walls. So that definitely helps. And I will say... That is one thing that the convention center even has is if they have an event in a ballroom, like when you go to the Pathfinder exclusive event, it's loud in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you're walking in the hallway, you can't hear unless the doors are open.
Right, until you can't get
really
there.
Yeah, you can't really hear how loud it is until you get in there, which is, you know, it's obviously it's something that you just have to deal with when you're at a big con like that. So. Did he get any swag for helping out with AEG?
Yeah, he got a lot of swag.
Good. Good, good, good. No, I mean, I know that he has a friend, I think, he told me, that works with AEG. That does demos at Gen Con and stuff like that. Because we talked last year after we got done running demos for Jasco about maybe checking out some other companies as well and volunteering for them.
We got a lot of...
we got, because it's in your house.
A lot of good stuff.
Good.
I was really happy with a lot of the games. Like, Flock is a brand new game.
Sure.
It's really difficult to find, but we got...
Cool.
That. So there's a bunch of stuff, once I'm out of school, that we're going to be playing
good.
From AEG. So I'm looking forward to that. like the Doomtown thing. I was.
Yeah.
There was a set that was released last week, and the tournament was on Sunday, so I got the box. The day before the tournament, so I was able to add those cards in.
Oh, nice! So, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was. Yeah,
How'd you do in the tournament?
I won one, lost two.
Okay.
But my deck is one of those decks that people are building around.
Okay.
So it does. It's based off of Kung Fu. So there's lots of shenanigans, and it's a very aggressive deck.
Good.
So.
Good. You had a good time though.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Blast. So
Joshy.
So, when our little group showed up to HoosierCon, we, after suffering through the gale force winds, walked in the door, and I immediately heard Don go, "Hey, it's Bub!" And we turned, and there they were, Crit Confirm, running the Endless Dungeon at HoosierCon.
And Josh,
I immediately
looked. Couldn't resist.
I couldn't. I immediately looked and went, "There's a seat available." I walked over and said, "You guys got a seat available?" I'm like, "Yep, it's $10.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, I would have probably bought in if I'd known it was only
probably
$10.
Probably, $10. I was like, "Well, I got a 20. She goes, "Well, you can use that other 10 to get..." I'm like, "Okay, I guess hashtag kill Josh is back." So I played Rock.
This is hashtag kill Josh 3?
I guess. I played Rock the Half-Orc Sorcerer with a gravity hammer.
Oh, nice.
I stayed in probably an hour and 15 in this case, only because, so we got killed by Care Bears whose arms had been replaced with tentacles. They had four tentacles on either side. And it wasn't just one Care Bear against our party of four. It wasn't even four Care Bears. No, it was 20.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you faced 20 Cthulhu Bears?
Yeah, pretty much. It was absolutely terrifying. And they would have killed all of us, except for the lady who threw them at us, felt sorry for us, and paid $1 each for us to get a Cure Light.
Oh, wow.
After Mike Tyson showed up and killed all of the Care Bears.
That's
because that happens.
This is how the Endless Dungeon goes. It was a great way to start off. I found out Crick and Firm raised a little over $400 in the few hours that they were there for the Indiana Blood Drive that was going on Saturday. So, and I got to play with John Graham from the Independent Show. He was playing.
John's a cool guy.
We got Chip the Monk, I think was his name. And we got to see Tony Schaub. He came by because him and Amelia were there trying out a new game from Action Phase Games called Ninja Camp, I think is what it was called.
Yep.
After that, we met up with Don after the boys were in the game kids room or whatever that was going on there. The Kid Pit, that one. And we sat down. We got something to eat at the concession area, which the concession area was okay.
It wasn't... The
drinks were overpriced.
Oh my
the
gosh.
Food was pretty reasonable. $2 for a soda.
A 12-ounce can of soda for $2.
Yeah. But $4 for a double slice of pizza or $6 for a burger and chips.
Burger with chips.
Was not pleased with the nachos I got.
Yeah.
They didn't look great, but pricing was okay. That's kind of worse. Mm. But
it was concessions.
It was concessions.
Like, I mean, they had a couple. There's a restaurant or two in the Wyndham. Yeah. So it's like if you want a sit-down meal, there's an opportunity to do that.
Oh, but I was walking by one of those restaurants, and they had all the cosplayers in there.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah. So
we went, sat down, ate our food, and we played a game of Marrying Mr. Darcy, which I'm going to leave that one as a very entertaining game, but leave it for our all-ladies podcast because they want to play it on air, so that'll be fun. And then we played Firefly Flux. That's such a hard... Firefly Flux. Recently came out.
Just say Fireflux.
Fireflux. Woo! Entertaining twist on the game. Same rules that you used to, but with all the Firefly characters. And then we went our separate ways before Don went to the arcade. And I and Josh met up at Derek's game, and we played a Universal Storytelling System game about the High Five superheroes who were living a reality show as superheroes. And I played Rock. Was his name Rock as well?
Rock Hard.
Yeah, Rock Hard. His name was Rock Hard, and I played Rock the Half-Orc Sorcerer earlier.
There's a theme going on.
I don't know how that worked out, but I played Rock Hard, the gentle giant with the super strength, and we were to... should I be telling this story, or are you playing it in another con?
I'm going
to
be running in another con.
But... Okay, well, if you're listening, please act surprised, but we had to take on this Mole guy, Mad Varmint. The Mad Varmint, that's who it was. He was causing earthquakes in San Francisco while we were on vacation. So we fought the Mad Varmint, and I think the most entertaining part of this was is Josh and I just, because of improv classes and podcasts together, we were just playing off of each other the whole time. Josh is playing Captain A Codpiece, who is... His superpower had all to do with he knows everything about women, pretty much is what it came down to. But it was also his weakness. But he and I would go through this banter with the Marmot. So while all this is going on, the boy genius figures out how to shut down the Marmot's armor before he ever gets to attack. And after it was over with, a couple of you guys are just hilarious. And we're really good at throwing a wrench, quite literally in this instance, at Derek. Because I'm sure you wanted combat, and we probably would have gotten our faces smashed. But apparently the Marmot, he had to talk.
Well, he's a bad guy.
He's got a monologue.
So
I think it was even Josh who was like, this is the point where he tells us his entire plan.
He's like, yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
So it was fun to get in. We haven't played any role-playing games in a while. Derek's, dealing with health issues and schooling and work and whatnot. And Don and his family are dealing with health issues and paying off schooling.
I was going to say, not health issues.
No.
Just babies.
Babies. Okay, it's not an issue any longer. He's out of the woods.
That's right.
Thank you, Sammy. But, life just kind of happened. We'll get back around to it. Looking forward to Curse of Strahd. Anyways. So it was nice to jump into... What? I'm being very clear. It was nice to jump into a role-playing game. I told Derek, once I knew I had a babysitter, I was like, all right, I'm going to be there. If you got a slot for me, let's do this. And it was a lot of fun. Got some good successes in a couple of places. Failed miserably on one as well. Got to be a giant guy in a robot suit who flew 50 feet onto a ledge.
Yeah, that also dragged their AMC's Hornet sport back into a hole.
Into a hole in the ground. Well, that's the only way I was getting down. It was fun. So really enjoyed that. Overall, I thought the flow was pretty well for a hotel, the best they could. Saw the exhibit hall area, the vendor hall a little bit.
I was really surprised with the... I was actually pleased with the vendor hall.
It was good for a smaller hall. They had a decent
variety of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
They did.
And what I really liked probably more than anything is that I think there were like three game stores in there.
Yeah.
And very few of them cross-sold.
Yeah. They all kind of had different stuff that you
There are some really unique artists in there as well.
I believe that. Well, see, and if we really wanted artists, the day to go was Sunday because John's independent show was on Sunday. And I really recommend if you've never been to the independent show, get there, get hooked up with those guys. If you're a creative artist, a local artist who's trying to sell stuff, when I say artist, comic book, game creator, whatever, look up the independent show. He's doing two or three shows a year now, and he's giving people the opportunity to kind of meet and network and talk about their gear. But they did have some neat artwork in there. I saw a couple jewelry store things, and the Adventure Sense or something?
Oh, the Adventure Sense. Okay, so this group, since you're questioning this group, she must have been at Origins then. That's where she must have been.
Okay.
So I interviewed her. I know that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, Mr. Producer of our podcast.
You're right. I took your faith and mixed it up and threw it out there.
She makes these scents that go with your role playing. So if you're in a
scents,
yes, yeah. So
S-C-E-N-T-S.
Like
S-C-E-N-T-S, got it.
So if you're in a graveyard, she has a graveyard scent.
You said scents, and I thought like it was some sort of VR 4D.
Oh no,
like,
no!
You know what I mean? Like your five senses kind of sense.
No, they're
versus
like
smelling.
They're
like candles. And
yeah,
stuff.
They're oil beads.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so
you, like, warm them.
No, you just unscrew it, and it scents. It smells, and so she was there at Origins, and it's a really neat concept if you really want to bring in more scents into your role playing. So, like your senses. So, if you want to engage your smelling, then that's
cool. No, that's very neat. I know that Tony was talking about getting to meet one of his daughter's favorite game designers or something there, and then they were playing that Ninja Camp game. I don't remember exactly what game he was referring to previous to that, but but yeah, I was really pleased with just kind of the variety of different things. I didn't have the cash to really get anything, but it was really cool to be able to walk around and see all the neat stuff. There was a vendor there that had these really cool, I mean, they were basically like ragdoll style dolls. I'm assuming were probably handcrafted, hand sewn, but they were really neat because they were all like pop culture style. You know, they had like Superman and Batman and Captain America, and they had like they had a C-3PO and Minions, all kinds of different stuff. That was really kind of fun. And then they also had like some steampunky costume stuff, which was kind of neat. And yeah, I walked around. I actually ran into two or three people that I knew from previous cons that were walking around in the exhibit hall, which was really cool. We ran into our buddy Caleb Jensen.
Yep.
He was at the convention, and he had brought a couple friends of his. I'm trying to remember. I remember he had his buddy Nick with him. I'm having a hard time remembering the gal that was with him. But yeah, it was really cool, and we ran into our buddy Bill Stivers. Several of our other friends from like Bill Kahn and those guys and stuff like that. That was really cool. They were playing Viticulture, which is a wine making game. It's a resource management wine making game.
Sure.
And apparently Bill's wife Autumn loves the crap out of that game, which I was like, well, that makes sense. If you know anything about Autumn, she loves wine.
Sure.
And so playing a game about making wine is definitely something that is right up her, you know, right up her road. So overall, I felt like Hoosier Con was a really fun con to go to, especially for a small con. I totally agree with you that there were tons of things to like. There was, I even told Josh, next year I'm definitely going to go, even if I can only go one day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for a beginning to end of the day.
Yeah,
because there are so many different things. They had a craft room where they had like people that were literally painting on canvases. They had an Artemis set up. They had True Dungeon there, like a legit 7-room True Dungeon and a grind, which I thought was great. And it was only $40 versus $50 at Gen Con. So it's like if you got to scratch that True Dungeon itch.
Yeah. This is definitely the place to do that.
Yeah, because you can buy all your stuff preemptively as well.
I'll probably go for all 3 days next year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to plan it. I may actually even see about exhibiting there.
Yeah.
Especially doing the independent thing.
Oh, yeah. Independent show on Sundays. Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Which he'll do another one of those in the fall.
Yeah, he does in September. Okay. He does one. It's usually in September.
I'll have to hook up with him on that.
Or he'll do it in conjunction with whatever HoosierCon's doing in the fall as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, no, it's worth going to. I mean, it's a free convention. The upgrade to a member was like $25, and you get a shirt for that. And I need to do that as well.
They got member voting coming up soon too. So
yeah, in May I think is when their member voting is and stuff. So one thing that, obviously, being a gaming podcast, one thing that we enjoy doing when we're at a convention, as we've discussed, is playing games. We've talked several times in our pre-Gen Con show and some of our other pre-con shows about some of the things that we recommend you take as a con goer with you, whether it be an empty bag to put stuff in or if you bring games with you like I like to do on occasion, kind of how you outfit yourself to do so without overburdening yourself, because that's kind of the greenhorn trick, is you end up overburdening yourself like the first time you go to a con because you think you need everything in the world, and really you just need a little bit of everything, maybe.
Not, I wouldn't even say that much, because especially for something like this type of convention, you either want to schedule yourself to run something or you want to schedule yourself to play something. I think that the pickup aspect is going to be very difficult because it's of space.
for like a small con like this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I just mean for in general, like going to any Universal Con. That's a good name.
Universal Con.
Coined. You know, when they open the convention center on the moon.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Universal.
It's just you're trying to coin it on our podcast, and that'll be interesting. It's
probably not going to work.
No. I don't know.
No.
Maybe? Okay.
We're non-profit. It's
well, there goes all my ideas.
Okay.
All of them. Just, that was my. That was my.
It was the one.
I put all it my stock in that.
It was his universal idea.
Anyway, but no, I totally agree with you that less is more when it comes to.
You don't want to be bringing like your bag of games or your bag of board games,
right?
You.
Right.
Not unless it has wheels on it.
Yeah. No. Even then,
yeah.
Well, there really isn't the space to do it.
Right. There. Well, what we end up doing, but now that being said, Hoosier Con has always been known for their open gaming areas. So they have a place for people to pick up games. They have always had, because they have the library at all the other conventions.
Oh.
Hoosier Con handles the game library. Part of what they do is the low cost ability to do the gaming hobby. That is their like whole membership premise and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's an open board gaming room where you can go in and it's like either. They either pay like a dollar or you hand them your driver's license, something like that, to rent a game. You sit down, you play the game.
It depends on what they're doing. Like sometimes if they're actually there to help raise money and stuff like that, it's a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And you rent a game. Well,
it's still worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or sometimes you'll pay a couple bucks to be there the day. And then they'll let you rent games as
or
you
can bring your own. What we did was our side satchel or whatever that we'd have would have a couple of smaller games. And I think that's kind of where Don's going here.
Yeah.
What types of games, not only do you want to register and play...
If you have limited space as a con-goer, what kind of games do you take with you or possibly pick up in the exhibit hall to play that are not going to be burdensome? For example, we took Marrying Mr. Darcy. It's one box, about the size of a Munchkin box, like a standard Munchkin box, not like the Ultimate Munchkin Craziness box. But about the size of a Munchkin box, and it fits everything in it. You put it at the bottom of your backpack, and if that's the only game you take, you could play it three or four times, and it doesn't get boring.
I would also say things like Love Letter.
Yeah.
Love Letter's good.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that.
Any Flux game.
Flux game, yeah.
I also took, though we didn't get a chance to play, it was One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another quick game that you could easily, even if you didn't have it in the box, could throw it in like a Ziploc bag and it would fit and go with you. The idea there being that even if they don't have an open board game location, you can find a couple of chairs and sit down and play a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and there's going to be chairs in hallways, stuff like that that's going to happen. You sit down at a food court to play a game. I don't know how many times we've been to multiple conventions and seen people with card games out while they're eating their lunch or dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
But another cool thing on that, a game system like the Universal Storytelling System is a good thing to have just in your bag. It's just, right now in its current form is you need a deck of cards, a couple decks of cards, and you need the book. And away
it's a little
you go.
Bit more difficult because it is a role playing system.
Sure,
because you need at least you can lone wolf it, so you need at least two people, but two or three people. But then again, with Flux, you really want more group of people.
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, this would work.
And have a set of dice.
Yes. Oh yeah, always have a set of dice.
Always have a set of dice,
and not. Like a polyhedral set of dice.
Yeah.
Oh, here's what you should do.
Just
okay.
Because you can use it for so many different things.
The adventure case. They're going to kill me.
One from Dogmite?
Dogmite Games, yes. Thank you. You can put a couple of decks of cards in there. You can put dice in there. And it's all contained in a wood box.
Sure. However, it takes up your hand. Unless you've got a big enough satchel for it, it always takes up a hand.
I love how you say satchel because you're the only one who wears a satchel.
Satchel, bag, whatever.
He's fancy.
That's because I prefer it on the side.
I know, that's what I was going to say. I wear a backpack. That's why I'm
But backpack or satchel or man purse.
Any bag, right.
It's going to be...
comparable.
You can put that in there.
Your portable gaming library.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally... I know, I just saw it on your bookshelf the other day, a game that we have played maybe once or twice, or maybe just set up characters for, but Weird West is a role-playing system that you use, I think it's like one, maybe two D6 to play. And
yep, costs a dollar on Drafted.
Costs a dollar. Yeah. You literally origami the page that has all the rules on it into a little six-page booklet.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a fun, like if you're into RP kind of stuff, that's a really fun. Fate is another one because you can run it. Yeah. You can run it all. You can if
Savage
you get Fate.
World.
If you get the like Fate Accelerated booklet, it's just a thin book, and you just run with like maybe you could run Fate with one set of Fate dice.
And for those of you people who really got to play by yourself, don't forget your Nintendo 3DS, your PlayStation Vitas. Yeah, your portable game systems that are not your phones. I know that phones can play. If you're going to use you're going to play games on your phone, make sure you have an external battery or an ability to swap out your battery.
Yeah.
But that's also why these other portable game systems still exist.
I'll tell you the biggest issue I have with, and this is mostly because I'm an extrovert. The biggest issue that I have with like mobile gaming systems, PS Vita, the 3DS, things like that is I feel like if you are looking to play just your, you know, if you're a Pokemon fan and you're looking to play just your version of Pokemon X and you're not going to be doing any sort of street passing or anything like that, I mean, you can do that. If you're going to a con, go to a con to experience the con.
Okay, I'm going to challenge that a little bit.
That's fine.
Because for the introverts around you, you want to, even though you're surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Sure.
You need to take that break, and focusing on something like a DS or a Vita will allow you to do that. So it allows you to get away for like half an hour, hour.
I think where my issue lies is, and maybe this is just because I only notice it so much when we're at larger cons because there are so many people, is that you go to Gen Con and you have the guy who is sitting in the middle of the hallway while cosplayers and people like that are walking around, and he's on his 3DS, and I feel like if you need that log off time, if you need to get away from that crowd, there's tons of area for you to be able to do that in an outsourced building or even on like the third floor or something like that.
Well, now you're just talking about jerks, which conventions are going to have.
That's
so
true. That's absolutely true.
Even without the DS or without the Vita, I mean, go to Dragon Con and try to get around the cosplayers.
Yeah.
So it's not a... It's a symptom. It's not a cause.
Yeah. No. And I know being someone who is pretty outgoing when it comes to being in a crowd and things like that, it doesn't bother me to be around that many people. I understand that there are a lot of people that are not like me, and that's okay. And I'm not saying that you are, you know, scum of the earth by any means. If you need time to, you know, as I said, log off from being around all those people, do what you need to do. But I guess where I'm coming from is I don't always understand that because you've paid $80 or $100 to come to this convention, and you're spending 3 hours on your DS waiting on your next game when you could be maybe over at Scotty's Brewhouse hanging out, or maybe just sitting at the monument, or just kind of relaxing someplace that's not in the... I don't know. I don't... That's just me. I'm not the kind of guy who likes to just sit still alone for several hours.
All extroverts are like, I understand where you're coming from.
No, yeah. I know. That's okay.
I understand.
We're going to agree to disagree, and that's okay. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Or
No, I'm just going to say that I'm right and you're wrong.
Right. I state that I understand it because of enough experience seeing others have to deal with it. I won't forget Avital at PopCon last year.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Needing to just go and sit in the Endless Dungeon because of all the people they had to see. You know, that she was dealing with a lot of extra people that she doesn't normally.
Yeah,
and
I understand that.
That's what he's explaining. That's why he would argue
I understand that. And I'm saying that what Avital had to do in order to step away from Indie PopCon or step away from when we were at Fear the Con,
yeah,
because of the things that she was helping out with and stuff like that. She had to go back to the hotel room and just have her alone time. She left the main exhibit hall to go to a room where there were much less people, and she could just
And that's part of the problem, especially with large cons like Gen Con, is that there isn't...
Maybe that's kind of where I know that introverts have to get that time alone.
And if you're not staying local, like that's if you're not staying at a hotel there, if you're commuting.
Right. If the only alone place you can find is your car.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. But as far as like, I know when I pack my game bag, I always bring a standard deck of cards. I always bring dice. I usually bring a couple Magic decks, especially if it's like Gen Con where you're going to have a larger variety of different games. Mm-hmm. Probably a couple Magic decks, a couple Pokemon decks, probably a couple Universal Fighting System decks. Mm-hmm.
I have those with me, but typically when I do conventions, mm-hmm. I plan my conventions. I've found that's the, for me, that is the best way to have a convention.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. I plan about a third of mine, and then I leave the rest to just do whatever happens. So, but I mean, that's where we both kind of find our comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really love knowing that every year at Gen Con, I'm going to do True Dungeon. I'm going to do the Pathfinder runs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I understand.
You know?
And that other thing that won't happen this year.
And so...
It's not like Voldemort. It's not. They're not doing the Hickman's Killer Breakfast. It's okay. We're coming.
No.
Last year was the first year I did Hickman's Killer Breakfast.
Oh well, it's the event shall not be named.
Right. So I mean, that's like I had a great time, and I would do it again this year if they were doing it. But it doesn't spoil my weekend just because it's not there.
I'm just glad that Dan was able to go to the Killer Breakfast last year.
I am too. And Tracy, I mean, he'll be back. You know what I mean? He's going to come back, and he's going to do the thing, and people are going to love it. But I like to be, you know, the hard thing for me, as we've kind of discussed in the past with the Myers-Briggs stuff, is because I am such a big picture, open world planner,
non-planner.
I always want to be ready for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I carry my Swiss gear backpack that's twice the size of Josh's satchel, and I put, you know, I'll put games in there, and I'll put snacks in there, and I'll put drinks in there, and especially if I've got my kids with me or something like that.
Yeah, you really, I mean, even without kids, I mean, you need to have drinks and snacks in there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes.
And I'm
going to
say it before Josh does. Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Because she loads everybody that asks. She loads them down with, like, your daily lunch bagged snacks, stuff like that, which I think is awesome.
Mm.
If you're not going to take stuff like that, take some money and know your area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to spend money on food, please, Lord, don't do it. If you don't have to, don't do it at the convention center. I'm not dissuading anybody from buying convention center food, because 9 times out of 10, it's just fine. It tastes just fine. It's just overpriced compared to if you walk 2 blocks down the road and find, you know.
Especially if you're downtown Indy, there are like hundreds of places to eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, within a block, you got, I mean, the mall food court has a Taco Bell in it. You know what I mean? You're not going to get gouged at a Taco Bell for the most part.
But the limitations of a smaller con, which is kind of sometimes you run into that problem, is that your only options are on-site food.
That's true.
So be prepared. I mean, because in a situation like what happened with Hoosier Con this year with the limited parking, once you park, you don't want to move.
That's right.
You're parked.
And there wasn't anything within walking distance.
And the Wyndham was the only hotel that was close that I believe that had an in-hotel restaurant. For you to be able to purchase drinks and food and things like that. And then they also had concessions.
I cannot confirm that because I don't know.
I'm not sure of that either. But that's why the importance of know your area is there. Yeah. So bring some games to enjoy.
Know your area. If you know that there aren't restaurants around,
mm-hmm.
pack a lunch or pack some snack. I packed a bag with a couple Snickers bars, a couple bags of chips, a couple you know, things of honey roasted peanuts, stuff like that. Like,
know your hotel if you're traveling, because not all hotels have mini fridges.
Yeah,
and microwaves. So, know the hotel, and if the hotel has a mini fridge and a microwave, bring food.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you get there, like, especially, you know, for DrewCon in St. Louis, mm-hmm. if they happen to have, you know, microwave, mini fridge, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
on your way to St. Louis, stop by a Walmart. Or when you get to St. Louis, check in. Stop by a Walmart. You know, stop by a convenience store or department store that has food there for you to be able to eat, you know, on a regular basis. So you don't have to. The other thing, too, is when you're at a smaller con, it's easy for you to be able to experience a lot more because there are less people. And if you have those things wrapped up and ready to go,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to spend time going back and forth to a restaurant or back and forth to your hotel room. If you take an extra bag, even if it's like a small lunch bag or something, and you just pack it tight and you got stuff for the day, you know, maybe you make a break for dinner, but you get there, you have a couple cereal bars or something for breakfast, and then, you know, maybe a sandwich or something for lunch, and then go out with some of your friends for dinner, come back, finish your gaming night. I mean, to me, that seems like the best when you're prepping for food and stuff like that. You know, definitely have portable games. Something that several of our friends have done in the past. If you just got to have Settlers of Catan and you don't want to take the big old box, or you got to have King of Tokyo and you don't want to get the broken token insert for all the expansion stuff, you can easily, and I say easily in quotations, you can easily break down a game to put it in maybe a gallon or a 2 gallon Ziploc where it slides into your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a game that you just have to have with you. I mean, obviously, there are games that will not happen with. The World War II board game that Deb has, right. That ain't happening. There's just way too much in that game to be able to do that. But and even games like Zombicide and stuff like that, it'd be really difficult for you to be able to do it with. But games like Catan, King of Tokyo, you know, there's several games that have a marginal amount of pieces and a decent setup for the board that you could pretty much break down in a fairly decent way.
So I just looked it up, and the brewery where DrewCon is being hosted has a microwave, refrigerator in the rooms.
Look at that.
As well as the 5:30 kickback, which is free dinner
food.
Yes.
So,
and they always do breakfast, too.
And they do breakfast as well.
For sure.
So there you go. So free con got freer.
There you go.
So,
I know that In Conjunction is in July,
mm-hmm.
and they're at the Marriott East off of Shadeland Avenue.
I've been at that hotel. It's a decent hotel.
Yeah, and there's several fast food restaurants, mm-hmm. and small restaurants and stuff like that. If you didn't want to try and find something to eat,
there's
at
one
the
across the street. And I forget.
I hope we're all taking notes.
Yeah, exactly. It's down by the corner of the main road, but it's like maybe a 5-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
So there is food available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, if you're going to any PopCon, Indiana Comic Con, Gen Con, it's at the convention center. There's loads and loads of places within. If you walked 5 blocks, you'd pass probably 150 to 200 different restaurants.
Okay, this is really sad that we actually know, like, food places and outline or how the layouts of the hotels are.
Well, you know.
We've gotten to that point. We are those people now.
That's right. We are expert conners at this point.
Oy.
but, I mean, you know, and in general, like, making your con, whether it be a small con or a large con, making your con the best it can possibly be, a lot of times it really comes down to what I'm not necessarily the best at, and what Derek and Josh are really good at is planning. Even if it's just planning on what you're going to be wearing, planning on what kind of shoes you're going to wear, planning on what kind of games you're going to bring, what kind of food you're going to bring, and how much money you're going to take with you. Those five things will make your convention a much more pleasurable experience. Another knowing where you're going to sleep, whether you're going to sleep downtown at a hotel, whether you're going to sleep at the hotel hosting the con, whether you're going to commute in, because that will change your timing for everything.
That changes the feel of the convention.
Yeah.
If you're going to stay at the hotel, there are several things that to take into consideration. If it's a single hotel con, try to stay at the con hotel, because that will make things so much easier for you.
You go downstairs, you're there.
If you're going to a party con like Dragon Con and you want things a little bit quieter, there's usually a hotel that is... So Dragon Con has three hotels, and one of the hotels, which typically has the RPGs in it, is a little bit quieter than the other two. So you want to stay there. But planning is going to be the key thing, because a lot of this stuff... Except for like the small cons, you need to plan like months, if not a year, in advance.
Yeah.
And if you have people like Don out there, and you've got like a whole bunch of friends over there, make sure that your planners are next to your non-planners.
Oh yeah.
Because as soon as like he comes out, he'll be like, "Okay, Don, you have to go back in. You forgot your pants." And then,
That's. The nice thing about having and this is definitely, it may be difficult for some people to handle, but the nice thing about having a large array of friends who have different talents and gifts is I know that I'm not a great planner, but I can look at Josh and I can say, these are the events I want to sign up for. If you can order my tickets, I can give you the money. And then we can put, because I already have my badge, and just link it with my badge, and we'll be golden. Make sure you hold on to the ticket, and I have my cell phone on me, so you can call me and find out where the heck I am 10 minutes before the game. That way I can try and get there. Stuff like that. I know that I can depend on my friends to have a much better con, because it's important to them as much as it's important to me for everyone to have that experience. When Derek is at a convention and he's running a game, and he calls us and he says, "I only have two people." Guess what? The other three seats are going to be taken up by people 9 times out of 10 that he knows. Because it's going to be a fun time. Derek's going to run. We're going to play. We're all going to laugh. His game's going to be ruined. We all understand that. It's just something that we dealt with.
Go team.
That's right. Yep. So, I mean, definitely relying on a buddy, even if it's just one. Sit down and put a game plan together and figure out what you want to do.
And planning the convent or planning your convention time can actually be part of the experience. Because in some respects, Gen Con fixed this in the recent years, but I do remember our little command center in the apartment.
Like three computers or four computers.
With Ragar, Josh, myself, and it just was like, it was one
six
room.
Computer monitors ready to go. Like,
that's right.
And we were all like, click, 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 click.
Already spamming the button.
Yeah. it was annoying at the time, but you look back at that and you're like, wow, that was a thing. That was like, more often than not, we got into what we wanted to.
Right.
Still. It's part of. Part of the con is the lead up to it.
Yeah. Yeah. A big part of the con is the lead. I mean, because the thing is, even though I don't necessarily plan, I've already started gearing myself up for Gen Con the day after it's over.
Oh, yeah.
That's my thing.
There is an after action report on that, then when you're like, okay, next year I've got to do this differently.
Right. Well, and it's funny because we always do a post Gen Con show. But then we're still talking about it a week later, trying to figure out what we enjoyed, what we didn't enjoy, how we can fix last year or this year for next year. And honest to goodness, when it takes, and I know that it takes time for them to do all the stuff, but I'm waiting in the wings for them to release their press report about how. Because Gen Con is something that I'm passionate about. Going to conventions and meeting new people and experiencing new things is something I'm passionate about.
Absolutely.
And I want to know how successful they did. I'm really eager to find out how HoosierCon did.
Me too.
And I'm really going to be excited when they release their numbers and they say, we had this many people and we raised this much money and we had this many vendors and it was such a good time that we're going to do it again next year. Because you get a chance to then take your new friends.
We
to
want
that
these.
Experience.
We want these experiences to succeed and to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when they do fail, which we've had a couple that kind of fell on their face, mm-hmm. the ones that succeed can still stay here to meet that itch.
And well, there's that, but the other conventions learned from that. And
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
yeah. The ones that learned it are the ones that are still around.
If you look at Indiana Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
Indie Pop Con learned a lot from them the first year that they came and opened up in Indianapolis. And you
vice
know what?
Versa.
Indiana Comic Con, exactly, learned a lot from mm-hmm. not only their own mistakes, but also everything that Indie Pop Con did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Awesome Con was here. 5 seconds later, they were gone. So, you know, it's really kind of a neat experience to see. And this is something that Josh and I, and Derek to an extent as well, have gotten a chance to experience this last year, is being behind the scenes. Not just seeing behind the scenes, but being a part of that and helping that perpetually grow into something that is so cool.
Lebanon MegaCon, mm-hmm. this is the first year for that convention.
Okay.
And I'm an exhibitor there. So this is going to be very interesting to see how this goes.
Just make your connections.
Yep.
Right there.
But, I mean, I'm interested to see how he is organizing it, how well they organize it. And, but, I mean, conventions are... Unfortunately, conventions are where a lot of our gaming has turned to.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's still, you know, it's funny that you say that, because there's still a lot of conventions that we have
mm-hmm.
that don't have a very strong gaming presence.
There. Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, for those cons, Hoosier Con baffled me with how many... I mean, it's a gaming convention.
It is.
But it baffled me how many people were there playing games. It was so cool to see that pretty much, I would say probably 80 to 90% of the people that were there legitimately were there because they wanted to play games and they wanted to see new stuff, and they got that. You know, that was really cool.
That's one of my hesitations about PopCon, mm-hmm. and I'll be honest. It's the fandom convention.
Sure,
They're trying to pull in the San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, and the way that they've put it, when we've talked to them about different things like that, is they want to turn it into what is not necessarily a convention, but in their words, a convergence of different pop culture groups, people who are gamers, people who are sci-fi nerds, people who are anime. They've done a really, really good job of doing that.
Hey.
But there's definitely still some areas that
need, you
know,
some,
I think we can help, you know, kind of propagate, you know, if you need people to run role-playing games. I know a couple, you know, mm-hmm. things like
well,
that.
Well, if we are the Established Facts podcast about all things gaming, Indie PopCon is a convention about all things popular.
It's true, yeah, and that's
true.
Exactly what they are. That's exactly, and they've got great people coming this year. They've got great things that are still being released. You know, we get a chance to help out and sponsor the podcast, live podcast stage. So, that being said, if you are interested in some of our local conventions here in Indianapolis, I have a list of, well, more than just Indianapolis, but I have a list of five. DrewCon
mm-hmm.
is June the 3rd through the 5th.
Correct.
In St. Louis.
Well, hold on. Because it's not 3 days, it's a 2-day con.
Oh, is it 2 days?
It's a 2-day.
Okay, so is it the 3rd and 4th? Oh, it's not Sunday, that's right.
It's not Sunday, it's the 3rd and the 4th.
If you're still there on Sunday and you're playing games, then...
We'll have people there the night of the 2nd.
They'll be there until... You'll have people that are there until Monday.
Oh, yeah. But I won't, because I'll be driving home.
We're going to brunch Sunday and driving home.
Yep.
Indie Comic Con is April the 29th through May the 1st, so that's coming up real soon, about three, four weeks.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It'll be 2 weeks from
two
when
weeks?
This airs.
Okay. So definitely, if you haven't pre-regged, I don't know. I think you might still be able to pre-reg, but if not, just save your pennies
mm-hmm.
and come in, get a badge, have a good time. It's going to be a really fun convention. They've got a lot of really cool talent that are going to be there. Leah Thompson, Ray Park, Ian McDermott, Jessica Negri. If you're in a, I think they've got like, I think they've got 9 or 10 like straight up pro cosplayers, Leanna Vamp, Jessica Negri, a bunch of other people that are going to be there. And that, again, that's at the end of April, beginning of May, 29th, 30th, and the 1st. What else do I got on here? Indie PopCon, is the same weekend as
Origins.
Origins.
Yeah.
It's the June 17th through the 19th. Origins is in Columbus, Ohio. Indie PopCon is obviously at the Indiana Convention Center.
So split your shift. Go play some games for a couple days. Come join us at PopCon for a couple days.
When is Lebanon?
Same time as Indiana Comic Con.
That's what I thought. Okay. So, yeah, again, April 29th, 30th,
and now, 1st. Yes. And one thing about Lebanon MegaCon, one thing that drew me to them was that they're a huge supporter of the military.
Oh, there you go.
They've got shuttles from the base that they're providing for very cheap.
Cool.
And they've contacted vendors about providing discount for military people.
Neat. Okay.
And the charity is the local army, I think.
Okay.
Group there. But definitely check the Facebook page out. Our Facebook page. I'll put out more information about that.
Well, there you go.
But it is definitely if you're in the Missouri area, definitely check that out. They're just trying to. He's just trying to get his feet wet on the convention. It would be great to see this succeed. And they've got a wrestler, actually, a Hall of Famer, WWE Hall of Famer. The and I am blanking on his name.
Blanking him. Good job.
Yep.
I'm Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Right.
That's it. Yes.
Oh.
He will be there, and there's a lot of artists there, and so it'll be a good time. So definitely check that out.
So July the 1st through the 3rd is In Conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sci-Fi Fantasy Con at the, as you said, the Marriott East off of Shadeland. I don't know what the cross street is, but it's right next to...
it takes 465...
It's right next to 70 East and Shadeland Avenue. So definitely check that out. They've already got their website up and running. If you need to get tickets and stuff like that, get them early so that you know you're going to go. And then, obviously, first weekend in August, Gen Con, August 4th through the 7th. And then Dragon Con is in September?
Over Labor Day.
That's right. Okay, so September.
You will not get hotel rooms. This is the convention that you want to book a year out in advance, and I'm not kidding. So you need to book that out to get your hotel room and the passes. I will say that the Dragon Con, to get your badges, which is only will call, is actually not that bad. The line actually moves pretty well, so definitely check them out.
So, do we have any other? I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Okay, so on episode 118, we established that nothing will ever beat the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. That's right.
Yep,
I said it. And for our new fact, for episode 119 of the Established Facts, our It's a Small Con After All, Mini Con Micro, big or small, go to conventions and enjoy them all. Thank you so... Don't look at me like that. Dang on it.
That was good. It was good.
It was adorable.
It's a small con after all. I figure it had to be rhymey.
Sure. No, I got you. It's worse that you have to justify yourself.
It's just because you gave me a judgmental look.
You're so paranoid.
I dash my confidence.
Notice that it wasn't me that was judging you.
I know, right? Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's just because I wasn't looking at you, right? No.
No, actually, I wasn't giving you a judgy face at all. So, you're all welcome. Right.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will check you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus!